Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time that we can share your word. Lord, we come before you humbly today. We come to you, Lord, grateful for all that you are to us, all that you mean in our lives. We thank you, Lord, today as the word goes forth, that you will give your people ears to hear. God, you will anoint me as your vessel to speak forth into their lives. And I thank you, Father, that you'll be glorified from it. In Jesus' name. John chapter 14, let's go back here to verse 21. Now, I have been sharing in the month of December about the mark of a disciple and the distinguishing marks that a disciple has differentiates between somebody just calling themselves a Christian. And we're going to use that as a springboard to go into January here to talk about the words of Jesus. We're going to be on an expedition of what Jesus said. You know, if you have a red letter edition of your Bible, those words in red letters are the words of Jesus. Amen. Now, really, they're all the words of the Lord. But specifically, Jesus had some things to say. And I mean, if he had some things to say, we need to specifically get a hold of those things that he said. Amen. Well, here's one of them right here in John chapter 14, verse 21. He said, "He who has my commandments," or my words, "and keeps them," that's a very important word there, "it is he who loves me." Amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Okay. Now what we're going to find out, and what we have found out, just because we say we love the Lord, just because we say we love Jesus, and almost every Christian says, "I love Jesus," that is not the proof, or that is not the signature that you love Jesus. Amen. Thank you for those one or two grunts. It says, and he tells you, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now let me read this out of the Amplified. Just put up verse 21 if you have it in the Amplified, Brother Victor. It says, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me." Now who really loves Jesus? The ones that keeps his word, okay? It says, "And whoever really loves me will be loved of my Father, and I too will love him and will show or reveal or manifest myself to him. I will let myself," look at this, did they put it up there? I don't have the monitor. It says, "I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him or to her." Now, how many of you'd like in 2009 for Jesus to make himself real to you? I mean real to you. Because Christianity is about reality. Amen? All right. And then verse 22 says, "Judas," not Iscariot, "said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Now here's a disciple asking Jesus a very simple question. He's asking, how will you manifest yourself to us and not to them? Now how many know that God is a revealer? God will reveal himself, but the Bible, the scripture also teaches us that God will hide himself. God will reveal himself, and God can hide himself. Now we don't want God to hide from us, but who does the Bible say here that he will reveal himself to? To them that love him and to them that keep his word. Now let me just qualify some things here. God could shake this planet. God could manifest and there would be everybody, every human being could see and know that there is a God in heaven. Did you know that? God could shake the heavens, shake the earth, shake the seas, blow the winds, stir the clouds, manifest, quake, shake, whatever. And I mean everybody in this earth would know that there's a God. Amen. You say, but why didn't he do that? Because that's not what he said he would do. Not yet. You see, there would be, if God wanted to, you do understand, if God wanted to right now, he could manifest himself to everybody and there would be no more atheists in the planet. Amen. You say, but why doesn't he do that? Well, because that's not his plan. That's not his plan. But we have to understand, many are looking for proof that God exists. A lot of people do not believe in God. Is that a surprise to you? There's a lot of church folks that don't believe in God. Because just because we go to church doesn't mean that we believe in God or that we love God. Well, I'm saying these things to say to you that God could, he could reveal himself. He could reveal himself at any time. But that's not God's plan. That's not what God intends to do. But listen, God makes it where everybody has a right to choose. You make a choice of whether you believe God or you don't believe God. Because the world is really made up of two types of people, not colors or races, you know, colors of skins, but really it's made up of two types, believers and unbelievers. Those that believe that God is and those that don't believe that God is. Well, the doubters will be removed sooner or later. You do understand there will be no atheists in hell. All doubt will be removed from every person once they die. I mean, once, now I know people don't like to hear that type of message, but once you die, once you leave this earth, there will be no more doubt in your mind that God is really God. But it's a little bit late then. So it's better right now to find out who God is and to find out what it takes for God to reveal himself to us. I don't know about you, but I want God to reveal himself more and more and more in my life. Amen. I've had some taste, I've had some experience, but I want more. I don't think you can get enough of God. Amen. Listen, and here's the other thing I need to tell you. We are not called as the people of God to prove God's existence. No, no, no. We're not called to prove that God exists. You're called to believe God is. Those that come to God must what? Believe that he is. And that he'll reward us and he will show us the great and the mighty things. So we have to come back, because what is going on right now in humanity, in this earth, is a separation. There's a separation of, and Jesus talks about it. He talks about the goats and the sheep. He talks about the wheat and the chaff. So there will come a time where Jesus himself will do the separation. We don't have to do the separation, and we don't have to try to prove that God exists. I know that God exists because I have experienced God in my life. I know that God exists because I have a personal relationship with God. God walks with me, God talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And so I have no doubt in my heart that God is really God and God is who he says he is. But you see, sometimes people get a little bit, they get kind of confused in this area, and they want to judge God. Or they say things like, well, if God is all that love that you're talking about, then he would never send anybody to hell. Well, listen, who are you to judge God? God created you. You didn't create yourself. Who are you? God doesn't submit to you. You submit to God. Amen. Or you submit to that other joker who you know are claiming is your God. But there's only one God. The Bible says in Romans 3, 4, it says, let God be true, come on, and every man a liar, that you may be justified when you are judged. God is the righteous judge, and God's judgment will be just and it will be fair. And you know what else? People with wisdom, that's why we was talking about that a while ago, you know, they understand God doesn't send people to hell. People go to hell because of the choices that they make. People go to hell because they won't believe in God. Well, how do we get people to believe in God? We can't force anybody to get saved. We can't force anybody to believe. Are you with me? All we can do is be an example. All we can do is live it out. Come on, somebody. So, understand, please understand when I say these things, people who have wisdom, listen, God will get us through the toughest of times. God will get us through anything that we face in life. But we never ever want to make the mistake of shaking our fist or our finger at God and blaming God for where we are or why we are in what we're in. Never ever blame God. Never ever, or you will cut yourself off from God's grace and God's mercy to be extended into your life. But God will get you through anything. But never get to the place where you pray wrong and say things like, God, why me? Why am I going through these things? Listen, then you start making accusation. Now you're starting to accuse God that God's the one that got you in that mess that you got yourself into. God didn't have anything to do with that mess. Are you here? Well, we got to come back. Listen, understanding, see, that the way we get God to divinely intervene in our life is by going to the Lord in prayer, in faith, and say, oh God, you are a faithful God. You are a merciful God. Your love will never fail. Your word will never leave me or forsake me, Lord. You know I've got myself in this horrible situation. But God, you will deliver me from all of my troubles. Amen. You see, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to approach God. And if we learn to approach God the right way, then God will have mercy upon us. Amen? Amen. Even when we don't deserve it. That's how good God is, folks. Even when we're ugly. Say ugly. Ugly. Yeah, ugly. Put that emphasis on ugly. Like you, ugly. Even when we don't deserve it, see, God comes back and He shows mercy towards us. So, I'm saying these things to you because God is not real to many people on the planet today. He's not real. But at the same time, for many of us, He's more real than the air we breathe. But to some, see, they never have got themselves into a place where they truly believe God. And the Scriptures plainly states that those that believeth will be saved. And those that believeth not will be damned. Those are red letters. Those are the words of Jesus. So I choose to believe God. I choose to believe because it is a choice. See, a choice simply is that. You choose to believe. See, some people's attitude, well, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Or I'm not going, you prove it to me. See, they're trying to get an understanding of God, or they're trying to prove that God exists through some laboratory, through some science, or some National Geographic special, or some historical account. But listen, we're talking about a God who is really God, who was before anything else, who has always existed, who always will exist. In the beginning was God. And in the beginning was the Word of God. And the Word of God has always been here. So we're talking about coming to a place where, do we believe? Do I have any believers in here? Amen. Does anybody have to prove to you that Jesus is Lord? See, everybody one day will find out that He is. The Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Well, I'm glad I found out already. Amen? So, there are those that will believe, and there's those that say, well, I won't believe it till I see it. But you see, God is just the reverse. You don't believe by seeing. You see it in the Word and you believe it. But you got to believe before you can see it. You say, but I can't believe something you can't prove to me. What if it's a lie? Well, you believe lies every day. You believe a lie every day based on what somebody or some man or some philosophy of a man has said to you. Why not believe what God has said? God who cannot lie, God's Word who cannot fail, the God of the Creator of the heaven and the earth and all that's in between. See, I would rather choose to believe God than to believe a man or a philosophy of a man or somebody that says they love God but don't keep His Word. Well, let's read on. See, that's what this message is going to be about this January. I'm just in the introduction, but we ain't even got to the meat of this thing yet. But I can't go too far in it till I make sure you understand those who love God. Amen. And those that say they love God, but they really don't. Everybody has to get a revelation of this, of what it means to love God, because you're going to have a difficult time loving other people if you don't love God. Well, let's read on. He said, one of the disciples said, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and not manifest yourself to the world? So He's hidden to the world, but He's available and very much inside and ready to reveal Himself to those who believe His Word. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, Jesus answered his question in verse 23, which is just really, He's just adding on to what He's already said. He said that, if anyone loves me, he will what? Now the word keep, you ought to write this down. The word keep means you will receive, you will esteem, you will treasure, you will remember, and you will do them. You will treasure them. How do you know we should treasure the Word? We have to esteem the Word. We have to not only hear the Word, but we've got to obey the Word. Okay? So he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep, that means treasure, that means remember, that means to do them, and so on and so forth. He said, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. In other words, you don't really have to go chasing God. God will come and live in your home. God, listen, that's why this is not about religion. Come on, religion is nothing more than dead works. Religion is nothing more than man's attempt to reach God. But what we have is something that is alive. The Word of God is alive. It's living. Are you with me? It's not dead. It's not cold. It's not callous. Sometimes people sit in churches and they say, hey, the church is dead. The reason the church is dead is because there's not a revelation of the Word. You get a revelation of the Word, you'll have the Holy Ghost show up. You have the Holy Ghost show up, you'll have some excitement going on. Because God is an exciting God. Amen. Everything that God does is wow. Woo! It God amazes you how big and how good and how great and how awesome God really is. Amen? So it's not about being dead. It's knowing God for yourself. The only reason you're dead in a live church is because you have not experienced God. Because you could be in a dead church and know it's dead, but you could still be alive in God. Because the Word is alive in you. Are you with me? So, you know, you've got to have, everybody in this room has got to have their own personal experience, their own personal relationship with God. Don't get your understanding of God from me. Get it through your experience. Get it through your faith. Get it through your walking and breathing and living and talking and obeying what God's Word has said in your life. I'm here to help you, and I'll help you all I can. But you've got to know God for yourself. I had to learn and know God for myself. Because when you know God for yourself, then there's no philosopher. There's no fancy preacher. There's no man or woman or devil that can take away that experience that you have in God, no matter what they say. And I'll tell you, they say a lot of things because we live in a day where everybody wants to be proved something. Prove to me there's a God. Prove to me that God exists. Prove to me that God heals. Prove to me that God saves. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. It's not my job to prove God. It's my job to live for God and show that God lives in me. You want to stay in doubt? Stay in doubt. You want to stay an unbeliever? Then stay an unbeliever. If you want to stay dead, then just stay dead. You'll find out what it means to die again. Amen. But if you want to be alive in God, then you need to ask God to come into your heart, come into your life, and get yourself born again, and you start experiencing God by walking in the Word of God. Pardon me while I get excited. But you can't take away. See, there's people won't tell you this has passed away and that's passed away. Hey. You can say all you want. I don't care how many degrees you got behind your name. But if I'm in the swimming pool, bless God, and I'm doing the backstroke, I'm wet. You can't tell me there's no water in the pool. You cannot tell me there is no God. No government, no sanction, nada. Nada. There is a mighty God. Hallelujah. Woo! Simple. Say simple revelation. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. It's not by saying we love God. Now, yeah, we can say we love God. That's not where it's at. Jesus said, if we love God, we will keep His Word. We'll esteem His Word. We'll treasure His Word. Hey, we will do His Word. Nobody can take that away from us. See, we're on a journey. We're on an expedition to find out what Jesus said. And if we find out what Jesus said, then we better take heed to it. We better keep that Word. Verse 24 says, because He's going to answer you. Not only will He manifest Himself to those that keep His Word, reveal Himself, but He will come to you. He will be where you are. Amen. That's good. All right. But what happens if we don't? Well, let's read. It says, He who does not love me does not keep my words. Now how much more simple. These are words of Jesus. These are red letter words. Jesus said, here's the criteria, folks. If you love me, you will keep my word. If you don't love me, quit crying and moaning and praying like you do and begging and asking me, because that's not the way you show it. Amen. He said, if you don't keep my word, you don't love me, period. Did everybody see that so I can go on? Okay. Now you get to make a choice, all right? That's why I said we're getting our priorities, right? Amen. Look what he says. He says, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So, what is more important than what Jesus said? What is more important Now we're talking about priorities. What is more important to you and I as a believer than what Jesus has said? See, that's why we're getting into this, and that's why, you know, it is serious to me. When I read things like Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. If you don't, you won't keep my word. That gets serious to me. I'm talking to serious believers. That's why I had to kind of teach you a little bit what a disciple was first, because a lot of Christians don't keep the words of God. So when we, now listen, here's what I want you to get. When we see the words of Jesus, and we're going to take a look at a lot of them, okay? I don't know that we'll see them all, but we're going to look at many of them, and we're going to use the Gospel of John to look at the words of Jesus, because we're on an expedition to find out what Jesus has said to us. Well, there's some questions you got to ask. You remember those questions? One is, do we know who really said this? Do we know who really said this? Because it's not anybody but Jesus. And Jesus said, I will reveal myself to those that keep my word. Those that love me keep my word. Okay? So I've got to, first of all, find out what Jesus said. Second of all, do I understand what Jesus said? Now, you see what I've been emphasizing understanding all morning? I have a method to my madness. I'm not mad, but I have a method. And I want you to know that once you understand the word, then you are obligated to do it by making a choice. You can choose to believe it or not. So, do I understand what he said? Because as you get into the Word of God, it is a continual unraveling, or if you will, a continual revelation. In other words, you never exhaust the Word of God. You can read it 100 times over and still get something. It's not like juicy fruit where you chew it and get the goody out in 5 minutes and throw it away. You keep chewing and meditating on the Word of God, God will show you something in it every time you give time to it. Alright? So, the understanding comes. Then the third thing is, if I understand it and it's from Jesus, then it's time to act. Say it with me, say it's time to act on it. If I'm not going to act on it, then what's it for? What am I in Christianity for? Are you in here for a good time? you in here, you know, to escape hell? Listen. Come back and just be real. Jesus is real, is he not? Is he not our Lord? Are we not submitted to him? Well, that's what it means when you have a Lord, when you have a Master, that you're submitted to God. Amen. And so Jesus said, I will reveal myself to those that keep my word, to those that esteem, put that word up first, who treasure it, precious more than silver or gold, those that will not only hear it, but do it. Do you realize that is the major problem in most churches? Is that you got a church full of people that hear, but they don't do it. Y'all aren't in a hurry, are you? Go over here to the book of Ezekiel. We'll come back in there. Are y'all here? Okay. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
All right. What do lovers of Jesus do? See, the Word can be so real to us if we allow it to be real. We have to allow the Word of God, which is Jesus, because He can be as real as we want him to be. But there seems to be a standoff with people. You say standoff? Yeah, you know what a standoff is. Where this is what God said, but this is what I'm doing. Now, you don't need a real lightning fast, you know, third grade education to figure out that if there's going to be a change made in your life, and there's going to be changes made, who's going to change? I can tell you one person that's not going to change, and that's God. So, the Word of God is designed by its very own nature to produce change in our life. Or I should say it this way, the potential there is to change. But, you know, you got to make sure that you understand again that if you just hear a word, but you don't do the word, there's no change that's going to take place. Amen. It's just like if you fast, but you're not praying and you're not seeking God. You're just starving yourself. You're just on a fancy diet. Okay. So, I'm talking about, don't let anybody, family, sometimes they can be the worst. Co-workers, you don't have to prove that God exists. You don't ever compromise by going in that direction. Come on. You will never, never, never. You win them by you living out the God that you say that's on the inside of you. It's a choice. That's why they call it a choice. You get to choose whether you will believe it or not. That's what believing is. Believing that God is who He really says He is. The reality of the Word of God. When I read something in the Word of God, is that just to take up type space on a page? Or is that the pure, unadulterated Word from heaven, from an almighty God? Even if men did write it, the Bible says that all Scripture was inspired. God breathed into those men, into those prophets. And the Holy Ghost caused them to write those Scriptures. Are you with me? Well, in Ezekiel, let's read this right quick because I want you to see something here. First of all, you got to know God doesn't do it your way. Because there's a lot of people trying to serve God on their terms. You can forget it. Say, forget it, baby. Because that's what you are, a baby. You're carnal. You don't desire to grow. You just desire to attend church. Some of you. He says, as for you, look at verse 30. I got to read this to you. 33. Ezekiel 33. 30. If you got it, say amen. I hear pages. It says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. How many of you believe when you come in here that you can hear a word from God? Amen. Okay. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but... Are you with me?
Yes.
What's the next four words? They will not do them. Oh, they hear the preacher. They hear the words. But he said, they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Their own desire, their own path, their own way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading the Word of God. Now, it's up to you to believe it or not. It says, now, you're not going to hear a lot of preaching like this in a lot of churches, because a lot of churches, the people don't want to hear scriptures read to them. Amen. They want to hear philosophies or something that'll make them feel good. Or, you know, A, B, C, here's steps to it of success. God will make you feel good. But if you're trying to serve Him on your term, you ain't going to feel too good. Now look what he says, verse 33. He says, indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. Boy, what an indictment here. I just propose to you, this is a big, big, let me say it one more time, big problem in today's modern church. You know why? Because for the most part, church has had to take on the form of the world and become an entertainment center. Let me talk to this side. We live in a society that loves to be entertained. We live in a modern era where we got TV, we got Hollywood, we got Cineplex, we got DVDs, we got, oh, you name it. We love to be entertained. Man, entertain me, make me laugh. Hallelujah, time will pass. Great. And we carry over that into our churches. So what do we have? Well, let's see what kind of praise and worship they got. Let's see if they got anybody can sing good. Let's see what kind of eloquent voice that preacher has. Let's see if they can entertain us so the time will go by, because man, we got to get the loobies quick before all the winter Texans get there. Entertain me. Yeah, entertain me. Make me laugh, make me happy. And we've carried that over into church. Would you say that is a problem or not? Now here's the thing. Is that it's like you're listening to the eloquent of the speaking. You're listening to the music. You're listening to the preaching. You're hearing the words, but you're not doing them. Jesus said that if you keep my word, part of keeping his word is not just hearing it, but doing it. It's not about, listen, it's not about just coming to church. Coming to church does not make you a doer of the word. It makes you a hearer of the word. Watching those, you can watch Christian TV 24 hours a day. I wouldn't advise it, because most of it's junk. You're going to feed your spirit with a bunch of man's philosophy and ideas and opinions. You got to be careful. You better have some understanding before you just let anything infiltrate your spirit. Amen. But see, when you've got an experience with God and you become a doer, well, let's go over there. You become a doer of the word, because I'm running out of time. Again, we ain't going to get too many red letters today, I can already tell. Go to James chapter 1. Some of you already know where I'm going with this, probably. All right. Now, in James chapter 1, see, how is God going to be more real to you and me? Help me out. How is God going to be more... Some of you need some more of God. Now, I'll be the first to say, I want more of God. Some of you just need to get on with it. How is God going to become more real to us? Help me out. Have I been preaching so long to you, you still don't get it? By what? Keeping and doing His Word. And it's not, listen, it is very dangerous to just hear something and not doing it. It is good to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God, but not just hear it. But here's what you've got to ask yourself. When I hear the Word, because, you know, I have people tell me all the time, well, I've been in church for 20-something years. Oh, you have? How has it changed your life? When you hear something, you ought to immediately ask your own self, how is this going to change my life? How is this going to affect me? Because if it's not changing your life, you're just hearing it. You're not doing it. You think the Bible and church is just a place where you come and, you know, occupy for a few hours. I've had people ask us, you know, what's your opinion about this? And I'm thinking to myself, you don't want to know what my opinion is. That's where people get messed up. Amen. Wanting opinions. See, that's the way they treat the Word of God, as words of advice. I'm not up here giving you advice. I'm up here sharing the Word of God with you. You know, you don't want to listen to somebody's opinion about God. Amen. Ask me my opinion about fasting. Doing without food for 21 days. I'll tell you what I think. Amen, sir, that's right. It's true. But what difference does it make what I think? Let me turn it around. What difference does it make what you think?
That's right. Right.
Praise the Lord.
What difference does it make what we think?
Amen.
We got to get our thinking in line with what He thinks.
Yes.
His thoughts. His ways. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Well, we better be able to ask the question, what did I stop doing when I heard that? How has this affected me in living my everyday life? If you can't answer those questions positively and constructively, hey, you've been sitting in church a long time just hearing. For you that's been sitting in church a long time.
Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. There is a misconception, I might as well tell you. And sometimes we're guilty of saying it, especially in word churches and we got to ask ourselves, what is hindering our life from going forward with God? Now, we have a saying, you know, we have a saying that if you get in the Word long enough, it will solve all your problems. If you get in the Word long enough, it will fix all of your problems. But that is a misconception. That is really not an accurate statement. It's what you do with the word you heard is what will fix your problem.
Amen.
Just because you got the word on your shelf or in your lap does nothing. Okay? Now let's read it from the book of James, because some of y'all are looking at me like, Well, verse 21. I think the word of God is big stuff, don't you? See, how can we get Jesus to show up in our church service? But how's faith going to come? See, I hear this all the time. Well, you're talking about priorities, but shouldn't our priorities be to go after souls? Well, let me ask you something. What are you going to go after souls with? I mean, oh, we need to be a soul winner. Yeah, we do. But let me tell you what souls don't need. They don't need for you to push and force them into another dead church. Because we got them dying by the dozen everywhere. Are y'all here? They don't need another cold religious experience. Because it ain't going to last. They're not going to last. What they need is the reality of Jesus, that Jesus is alive, and that if I do His Word, His Word will produce a change in me. And I will experience God, and I'll know that there's a God in heaven, and that God is real in my life, and nothing and no devil and no man can take that away from me. Nobody! Nobody can take it away. But when you are not sure, you'll let everything hinder your life. You'll let everything get between you and your pursuit of Almighty God. And Jesus all the time said, hey, I will reveal myself to those that keep, to those that esteem, those that do my word. And those that don't do my word, I don't care how much lip service they give me, they do not love me. James chapter 1. I'm glad y'all are excited. This is our New Year priority. To find out what Jesus has said, and we're going to treasure it. We're going to esteem it. Are you with me? Listen, you can only communicate what you have. You can only give what you have. Silver and gold, you said it a while ago. Such as I have. You know, you can't give what you don't have. I know you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that. But don't try the Word. Believe the Word. Get understanding on the Word. Find out that the Word is the most important thing in your life. Verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, with a teachable attitude, okay? Because the meek shall inherit the earth. It says the implanted Word. See, the Word has to be implanted. The King James says engrafted. Something from the outside by the Spirit comes on the inside to your spirit. Are you with me? It's got to be off the pages. It's got to get off the screen. It's got to get off your coffee table. It's got to get down in your heart. It's got to get down in your heart. Jesus talked about the parable, the sower sowing the Word. It's got to get into your heart. And before it gets down in your heart, there will be a very strong tempt, a temptation by Satan to take that Word of God out of your heart, from being planted and developing and growing in your heart so they can grow up strong. What's hindering you, see, is your own self. Because you have power over the enemy. He says, you put away all this other ugly stuff that you're doing, all this stuff, see, lay aside, and with a meek spirit, with a humble spirit, listen, hear the Word of God, because it will implant in you and it will save your soul. He said, but be doers of the Word. There we go. Doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. Now how can I be deceived? Now here it is. You're deceived because you think that you heard it. That is the same as doing it. You think because I have come to church, bless God, I have come to church on the very first Sunday of the month of the year of New Year. I am such a goody goody goo goo. Well, that's what it means by deceiving, see. You've deceived yourself into things. That's what deception means here. It means that you have thought because you've heard it. And so you've heard this 100 times. At least 99. Say, so, yeah, Pastor, I've got the CD that you preached at 6 years ago. We weren't doing CDs 6 years ago. But I know what you're thinking. Oh, I heard them say that on TBN. I heard them say that on this. I got tapes myself, whole message of this, of being doers of the word. Well, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What changed in your life when you heard it? You heard it, but you never became a doer of it. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a mirror. Look at this. It's a man observing his natural face in a mirror. What do you look at when you look at yourself in the mirror? Looking good? Is that what you said? Looking good, man. You say, get behind me, devil. That's who you're looking at. No. He says, as a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, the word, when you look into this word, it's supposed to do what a mirror does. It's supposed to show you, you know, if your hair's combed right, if you parted it right, if you curled it right, if you got the pimple covered up, you know, all the things, all the flaws, all the blemishes, everything. The mirror shows everything. It's like the camera. It don't lie. Are you with me? But if you look into it and you walk away from it and forget what you looked at, then you've just become a hearer of the word. That's the danger. I said, that's the danger of just being a hearer and not a doer. It says, but, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and that would be the word of God, because the word of God is perfect. Amen. We're not perfect, but the Word is perfect, and the Word will perfect us. Okay? It says, but he who looks, and that word look means to be intent. You don't just glance and say, oh man. You know, you look intensely in that mirror. You stop. You pay attention. You gather all the information you can. He said, into the perfect law of liberty and continue. Say continue. Because that's the same thing Jesus said. Now, these are not red letters, but he's quoting what red letters said. Jesus said, if you are my disciple, you will continue in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you continue. He's talking about continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, or a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now let me just close it with these thoughts, because you got to ask yourself, is what I hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has spoken in his word, does it really matter to me? Does it really matter to me? Because if it doesn't, then you don't love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. That's why we have to make sure that Jesus' word triumphs. Well, not triumph, trumps. There we go. Trumps everything else that we hear. I just challenge you to examine yourself in everything you believe.
I receive it, Pastor.
Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, everything that you believe, go to the Word and find a scripture on it.
Amen. Amen.
Go to the Word. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you got to learn.
Amen.
You got to learn. Because how do you know if you're believing the right thing? Everybody believes something, right? That's how false doctrine, that's how tradition of men make the Word of God no effect. How many of you, since you've been saved a long time, have found something that you were taught or you were taught or trained in a church or wherever, and you found out it wasn't in the Bible?
Amen.
I found quite a few of them. Because the Word of God always trumps what we believe.
Amen.
I want you to stand up on your feet. I'm done for today. Did y'all get anything out of that?